Shut up and sit down.
Our fantasy sports podcast this week with Jeff Erickson, a big one, especially if you're in a league that ends its regular season this week, as so many do. Glad that you're with us. Jeff from RotoWire, best fantasy site in the business. He's the best fantasy analyst in the business. And Jeff, you made a real good point as we were getting started here. As crucial of a week as this is for fantasy players, myself included, I'm a bubble team in both of my leagues. And here we are with six teams on bye, and that's really going to affect matters, isn't it?
It sure is. It's that and, you know, all these quarterback injuries. It's almost it's a near apocalyptic free agent week, you know, trying to find guys to be able to start for us this particular week. You know, we're going to have a lot of uncertainty heading into the late games. The Monday night game, I'm seeing a lot of Arizona, New England players not practicing today at their first practice of the week. Now, granted, it's their first practice. You know, it's not always indicative, but, you know, you want to have some certainty. You don't want to carry uncertainty into the game Sunday night or Monday night where you don't have anything to pivot to.
It's surprising on my end, at least my two rosters that I'm looking at, I'm not pinched by anybody on bye, shockingly enough. The only question I have injury-wise, and I'm sure this touches a lot of people with their teams, and it looked like he did play last week, was Deebo Samuel. What are you hearing about him?
Yeah, I think they're just managing him every week now. He was a game-time decision last week, but, you know, at least we had reporters before the early games suggesting that he was going to be able to play. I remember Jake Glazer saying he's going to play. Jake Glazer is usually like my Sunday morning go-to guy among the national reporters. I mean, I think Schefter's really good too. But, you know, if Glazer says it, it's happening.
I've really been hurt by Tom Brady as my quarterback in one fantasy league, and there have been some times where I went to the free agent market, tried to swing a trade. In fact, I did swing a trade where I got a secondary option in Heinicke. I've had Jones. I haven't been able to get my hands on a more steady option than Brady. But hanging on to Brady for a while has really pinched me. It's in a touchdown-specific league, so that's hurt as well. And yet, yep. Here are the Bucks probably going to the playoffs, probably winning that division. He'll probably be in the playoffs again himself personally. But for fantasy owners like me who have had him, he's a tough guy to sit, and he's also been kind of hard to replace because with quarterbacks, like you said, so many injuries, there's not a lot out there.
Yeah, I mean, he is the baseline of what's acceptable, but you're rarely getting the big game like you got before in the past.
Right.
You're not getting downfield plays at all. Mike Evans has been crushed by this Bucs offense. Some of this is on Brady. A lot of, though, it's the offensive line, and unfortunately, I don't think that part's fixable. You know, I think that you need some heat, better talent in there. They lost 3/5 of their starting line, either due to retirement, injury, or free agency. And then they lost their starting center, you know, in training camp. And I think that's one they just weren't able to recover from. And I think, you know, that's just a big deal. It's an underrated position. You can get by, but, you know, getting a really good one is hard to find. And I think that's been I think the Bucs have proven that this year.
Here's an interesting matchup. They're both on my fantasy team. They're going head-to-head in an interesting game where the Lions are a 2-point favorite against Minnesota. I've got Jamal Williams, who's been a touchdown machine, and Dalvin Cook going from Minnesota. How do you see those two performing?
Oh, I think this is a big game for both. I really, you know, it's the highest total of the week, 53 at last I saw. And I think both teams are going to be able to move the ball pretty well. You know, with Jamal Williams, you're in a touchdown-specific league, but he's also – his value is touchdown-specific.
Yep.
You know, if he doesn't get in the end zone, he's not going to get those little add-on points. In your league, that's fine because that's what you paid for there. But in a lot of leagues, it's, you know, PPR, things of that nature. You're not going to get too many receptions out of him. You're going to get yards and touchdowns, and that's it, and mostly touchdowns.
As far as a flex question goes, Jeff, I can go with one of these three guys, DJ Moore, Devontae Smith, or Isaiah Pacheco. Who do you like?
I think I'm going to say Pacheco, actually. I think, you know, teams don't throw the ball all that much against the Broncos. Although I think Mahomes might be different. But I think that the you can move the ball on the ground against the Broncos more often than not. And I think that's the way an approach the Chiefs are going to have to take this Sunday.
I've got the Ravens for a defense against the Steelers. That comes right to my backyard at Acrisure Stadium this week. Or I can play the Titans against the Jags. I'm leaning Ravens against the Steelers. What do you think?
I would too. For a few weeks there, I thought Kenny Pickett really was showing some signs of advancement. And then really, I was disappointed last week against the Falcons. I didn't, you know, they obviously you saw what happened with Pickens, how he was getting so few targets and how he was getting frustrated with that. But you know, I honestly thought that I expected a big game out of Pickett and Pickens against that Falcons secondary, and it just didn't happen.
I was thankful that I benched Pickens. Didn't make a difference in my win or loss. I had some breaks in other areas, but I pivoted off playing Pickens. I went back to Chase's first game back. I kept Lockett and Samuel in, even though I was worried about Samuel from an injury standpoint. And I didn't get the overall totals that I was looking for to get a win. I played against a player that had a really good team, so it wasn't really my fault. But yeah, I think I'm going to do the same thing. I feel pretty good in my usual PPR league, my sort of standard scoring league. One thing that I'm wondering about from your standpoint, Jeff, is I look over on the other side. You talked about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals against the Patriots on Monday night. That's the quarterback I'm facing. How many points should I be concerned about there from Murray in Arizona and New England on Monday?
Well, I mean, I think Murray has a decent game, but the Pats aren't super easy to go against. I think Murray's a better fantasy quarterback than he is a real life quarterback. I think that, you know, he could get you that, get that rushing touchdown that makes it all worth it from a fantasy perspective. But I mean, you saw how he had that meltdown after the game, after they blew the lead against the Chargers last week. I mean, that's not very encouraging. Hollywood Brown didn't practice today, so watch his status a little carefully. But yeah, I think Murray's probably good for two touchdowns and maybe a third.
Here's the bad news in that league for me, Jeff. I'm going up against both A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson. How do you see those guys playing out this week?
Jefferson's going to have a day.
Yeah, I know.
That one's going to be a tough one for you there. A.J. Brown going against the Giants. You know, he's not going to be like supremely motivated like he was last week against Tennessee. But at the same token, yeah, I think he's always in line for a pretty good day. I've always got him in my top 20, usually top 10. He's right there.
Give me some good news on Chase and Higgins against the Browns. How do you think they'll perform against Cleveland? I know it's been a struggle when it comes to the Bengals versus the Browns. Is that going to change?
Well, there's been some extenuating circumstances. Last time Chase was hurt, this is the first game after Chase got hurt. The previous game, Burrow didn't even play. Chase barely played just to get some yards. They had the game where they lost in Cincy last year. If you recall, Burrow threw a pick at the goal line that was returned for a touchdown by Denzel Ward. That kind of changed the game a lot there. The Bengals moved the ball in that game pretty readily. They had a fourth down conversion that didn't work in part because there was a drop on third down. But, you know, and then like Nick Chubb ran 60 yards right after that, after they failed on fourth down. It was one of those games that kind of mushroomed out of control. The Bengals are a better team now than they were then. I'm pretty confident they should have a decent game this week.
Speaking of the Browns, Watson week two, how do you see this playing out?
You know, I was unimpressed with him, as was everyone. I mean, you just look at the stats and you can see that there. He looked like a guy that hadn't played in 700 days, which was, you know, that was his previous game experience was 700 days prior to that. So he looked like a guy that was really rusty. I think he'll gradually improve. I don't think he'll be his old self right away. I think he gets there eventually. I wouldn't expect it this particular week, though.
I was expecting a huge day fantasy-wise from Nick Chubb against the Texans. It didn't necessarily transpire. We talked about that last week. Now, I've got Zeke. Of course, they're doing the carry-sharing thing with Tony Pollard. How could Zeke put up some numbers, do you think, against the Texans?
Well, it's all about goal line. He's kind of like Jamal Williams now. He's not going to catch passes. He's probably getting 40% of the snaps versus 60% for Pollard. The Texans, I mean, they have given up a lot of points to running backs this year. Wouldn't be surprised if that stays the same. They've tightened it up the last 3 weeks. They've gotten a little bit better. Remember, Derrick Henry had that massive game that skewed their numbers a little bit there. But at the same time, you know, last week you mentioned Chubb didn't go crazy against them. The week before, the running back didn't go crazy against them. So they're starting to get a little bit better in that respect. Nonetheless, I think Pollard's a top 10 back this week and Zeke's a top 25 back this week.
What trends have you seen this week, Jeff, as it relates to all the buys and the last minute manipulation of rosters that people might have before playoff games? Who's been popular on the waiver wire? What moves have you seen a lot of?
Saw a lot of DJ Chark getting picked up. He was surprisingly available in a decent number of leagues. It's the quarterbacks too. You know, if you have Fields, if you have Rodgers, you don't have them this week. If you have Lamar Jackson, you got to replace him. If you had Jimmy G, you got to replace him. So we're all kind of frantically scrambling, especially in super flex leagues where you start two QBs. It's really desperate. I've seen some, and this is in many leagues. This is the last week to add free agents in the NFFC. I know that's to be the case. So, you know, you see people unloading their fab budgets pretty aggressively to go get like Tyler Huntley, for instance. Tyler Huntley in the fantasy playoffs last year had that game against the Packers, 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 passing touchdowns, monster fantasy day. So we know he can do it. He's got a lot of variance to his game, but at least he fits that Ravens offense.
Back to Zeke. Here's a second running back question for you. Zeke, Mostert, or Wilson from Miami, Wilson Jr.? Which one of those three?
I'd go Jeff Wilson.
Yeah.
I know he killed you last week, so it's kind of a leap of faith, but the Chargers are among the very worst run defenses, not just this year, but perhaps all time. They're a really, really, really awful run defense. So I think that Miami gets their mojo back on the ground this week. They, you know, against the Niners, they basically stopped trying to run. They only had 8 runs all game, and they also had fewer plays than they normally have. I think both those things reverse themselves this week. I think the Chargers defense is an Achilles heel. I think that Wilson should get his points back. Don't leave him on your bench.
And you'd put him in over Mostert then, same team though, right?
I would. I think both, there's room enough for both to eat. I mean, remember, that's happened in previous weeks where both have been valuable. I think that that's probably going to happen this week. I think Wilson is the lead guy in my mind, at least he is. I know it didn't play out that way last week. So, but I'm planning on starting him in a couple of critical leagues.
Jeff, what else can people find at RotoWire this week as you head into the playoffs?
You know, obviously any of the late, free agent moves you can make helps. I remember there was a year you picked up Arian Foster around this time of year, and he was a league winner. So keep grinding. Keep picking those guys up. Look at my value meter. Look at Kevin Payne's free agent article. Check out Jerry Donavedian's, in-depth articles on analytics for the running backs and receivers, targets and backs both. Check it all out. Exploiting the matchups. Mario Puig's got a great article every week. Check it all out. You get a free no credit card free trial. If you want to go, just go check out rotowire.com/free.
And how about baseball? You got some winter meeting stuff up there as well?
Oh, yeah. We're covering all the news items there. We got Todd Zoll's writing weekly. Jason Collette's writing weekly. James Anderson's been doing a weekly podcast. So we got you covered a lot of different ways there, too.
Yeah, a lot of movement, a lot of big names, a lot of headlines here in Pittsburgh. I'm curious what you think before we go, Jeff, about Brian Reynolds and where he may go.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to go, but I thought it was noteworthy that he asked for a trade this early in his career. But, I mean, I don't blame him at the same time because, like my Reds, there's teams that are trying to win and there's teams that are not trying to win, and the Pirates fall squarely in the ladder. It's an NL Central thing, I guess.
Jeff, we'll keep tabs on you for sure throughout the course of the week, even after the Thursday night game is done, and we'll watch you throughout Friday and Saturday going into Sunday for the kickoffs, and we'll be in touch again next week, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.